First Thursday of the month, you know what that means. Bird news with ornithologist Vernon Locks. Happy New Year, Vern.
It's not only the first Thursday of the month, it's the first Thursday of 2009.
That's right, and we are not in the studio today. Today we are in search of the long-tailed duck on Nantucket.
And not only one duck, we're going to be seeing well over a million birds fly over our head. It's going to be fantastic. All right, Mindy, we're going to take two vehicles down here to the end of Smith Point. Have you ever driven in the sand before?
No.
Okay, well, I think you're an excellent driver. It's very different driving on the sand, and I want you to just stay in my tracks, follow me. And the only thing you really have to remember is no matter what happens, if the car starts to bog down or you're losing it, just don't panic. If you have trouble, stop.
Don't panic. Got it.
Okay.
My first time driving in the sand on the beach. Hope we don't get stuck.
Here comes some. Look, I'm right over the top of the Jeep. Sam, they're turning in. They're farther to the east today right now, and they're really high. See the line of ducks coming?
It's funny, 'cause some days I see them.
Well, it has everything to do with the wind direction here. We've been trying. Look at. Oh, there are. What time is it right now?
It's 3:40.
Okay, if you look from where we're right at the end of Smith's Point, we're on the extreme western tip of Nantucket, and we're watching skeins and row. I mean, literally, if you look out to the south, there's ducks low on the water, steady streams of long-tailed ducks. I'm looking at a group right there, 500 birds.
Oh, wow.
There's 1,200 birds. There's 3,000 birds. And then there's another group cutting behind us to the east that are already up and over Eel Point. Take a look. You want some binocs, Mindy?
Sure.
This is pretty crazy stuff. This is just the most spectacular phenomenon. And these ducks are just the greatest show on earth, I think. And then if you look, there's probably another group passing out. Look at it. They're cutting over. See the groups up high here? Cutting between Tuckernuck and Esther's Island right now.
Where are they coming from?
Well, actually, we have a website. Oh, look at this. Look here, Vinny. Here's the binocs on those. See the light on them? If it's not so windy, sadly, it's kind of screaming from the southwest right now. It's southwest. Look at the lines there. And what I've been finding out, we've been trying to count these ducks for years and years. I haven't been trying for years, but Edie Ray's been working on it for a long time. And it's all, I mean, look, how many birds do you think there are? I've been taking digital shots of clouds of ducks and trying to count them. And I look at it and I say 500. You count them, there's 1,200. So the largest numbers that we've counted on a Christmas count is just under, there goes a northern harrier cutting across, flying right, just coming towards the tip of Eel Point. The largest number we ever counted is 650,000. I think we're badly underestimating the numbers. Look at the clouds coming.
Is it because they go so fast and they're so close together that they're hard to count when you're looking at them with
Well, they're flying. They're the fittest duck in the world. These ducks are flying every day. Hey, you guys want some binoculars? Oh, you got some? No, okay. So, yeah, what's going on here is, look over there. Look at that. There's 20,000 ducks flying right there. 30,000. 40,000. Look, can you see it?
Yeah.
It's like a cloud. It looks like smoke coming by. It's just unbelievable. So the ducks, these long-tailed ducks, breed way the furthest north as land goes. Last year, for the first time, Mass Audubon got some money, and with the Fish and Wildlife Service, they came out and we caught in the middle of the night. So it's very difficult. It took 5 years to figure out how to catch a live one without hurting them. And they were fitted with satellite transmitters that actually have to be surgically implanted by a vet. There's only one guy in the country that does this, and it was the first time it had ever been done. Look at that. They turned around, and they're milling. So anyway, we got transmitters on 6 ducks. Actually, we put them on a few more. A couple didn't make it, which was terrible. And this year, starting next week on December 7th, a team is arriving from Washington and off with 11 transmitters. And we're going to catch at least 11 male ducks and put the transmitters on them. These satellite transmitters, because they're not so, they're battery operated. They only shoot up an uplink. We get a fix on them every 52 hours. So, I mean, if you look out here, You know, if you keep going all the way to the horizon, these ducks are, they go 30 to 50 miles south of Nantucket. Every morning they fly out of the sound, and they do this at dawn and dusk. Look at them lining up. Just, they're like, it looks like, you see the smoke, it looks like smoke coming in from the southeast. It's just spectacular. I wish it wasn't quite so windy, because listen, you can almost, you can hear, they come over, they go, wah, 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 wah. You hear them quacking. Well, you can hear their wing. Maybe in the morning you'll get to actually hear their, you, they'll come off, they'll come here and they scum down over you. It sounds like a freight train coming by their wing. It's great. Anyway, I never tire of this.
Let's talk to some of the folks you brought along.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You never go on an adventure with Vern, and it's just Vern. Vern always has a group.
New Year's morning. Yeah. Oh, wow. And we're hoping you'll have Expound. Yeah. And talk about how
so, all right, we have...
Say who you are, right, where you're from.
They'll say one, two, three, four of you who are from where?
From Worcester Polytechnic Institute.
You have a name?
What's your name?
I'm Diana Barlow. Okay.
And what are you doing here?
We're working on a project. It's a graduating requirement for our school. We're working with the Nantucket Energy Study Committee, and we are studying the feasibility of implementing wind turbines on the island.
So how did you end up out here on the beach with us looking at these long-tailed ducks?
Well, we're looking, birds are a big issue that we're looking into with, they have bird fatalities crashing into wind turbines. They're a really big problem, so... We were talking to Vern about, he knows a lot about all the birds on the island, and he said, oh, hey, let's go look at the long-tailed ducks. So we're back here a few weeks later to hopefully see them even closer, which we're seeing right now.
What do you think?
It's pretty amazing. I've seen the pictures, but I never imagined the sheer numbers that you would see here.
Let's talk to, let's start here. What's your name?
I'm Justin Skelly.
Hey, Justin, what do you think about this?
It's simply amazing. We came a few weeks ago, and it wasn't as good as this. This is really brilliant today.
And had you ever seen these birds before?
No, this is my first time out on Nantucket. I think all the WPI students that are out here, this is all our first time. So to get to come and see something like this, it's been a great opportunity to meet Vern and, you know, have him take us out here.
And has he been taking you out on some other excursions, or is this it so far?
This is our second time out with him, so I don't know. He says they have to go and capture these ducks, I think, in the next coming weeks. So I don't know. Maybe we'll take an adventure. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. No more rights. See, there's a massive...
Hi, what's your name?
Amanda Martori.
Hey, Amanda, tell us what you think about this experience.
It's pretty sweet. It's actually really amazing. This is our second time coming birding, so there's way more this time than when we came a few weeks before Thanksgiving.
So you're not, and we should say it's chilly, even though this is a relatively warm day. I don't know about you, I have my long underwear on. It's still chilly.
It is chilly, but definitely worth it. Not something we can experience at home.
I've been doing digital shots.
What's your name?
I'm Jennifer Hunt.
Hi, Jennifer. And so, your thoughts, what do you think?
I think it's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's amazing. I never expected to see that many ducks in the sky.
It's pretty amazing how it can look like smoke. Just
it does.
So they're billowing.
Like over there, there's just a cloud of them.
Yeah. And are you hoping to do a few more bird excursions? Because I guess you all were out here a couple of weeks ago and only saw a few, which was my experience. Last year I came out here with Vern, and they were a little bit too far offshore to really see them. But this time they're much closer.
Yeah, they are for us too. Last time we saw them, they came up over there. And they were pretty far away, but this time it's really something.
Great.
You go, come on.
Because you don't go out with Vern and just talk to Vern. So now, how do you happen to be here on the beach with us?
Well, I actually live up the road, and it's much warmer. I can see these from my house every day.
You can.
In the morning and in the evening. And I do. I run from window to window with my binoculars watching them because it's just so incredible.
So you can
watch
these.
Once in a while, I come down to the beach just because it's more, you know, it's just to be here with the ocean and watching them fly right over the beach. It's incredible.
That was my question. I was like, if you can watch these from your house where it's warm, why are you here freezing?
Well, actually, today it's not that bad, but it's just so spectacular to see them like this. And I think I asked Vern this question. To me, it's like they migrate almost, you know, these guys are migrating every day out to feed and back, and they must use so much energy. Just to go and feed like that, I'm just in awe of them.
I don't think you could call this migration. This is their daily movements.
Yeah.
But it's great.
What was your name again?
Trish.
All right. Can you see the number of birds out here?
It just looks like a black cloud.
Where did my binoculars go? Who's got my binoculars? That's all right. You got to use those. If...
I've got a friend.
So, Vern, when you're out here, do you often find other people joining you? Like we're saying, just a couple other people here today, but are there usually more people?
No.
No.
And if we were smarter... if we were smarter, we wouldn't be out here on the end of the beach exposed to the wind and stuff. You can actually, if you're looking right now, these birds, oh my God, look down the beach.
Oh, yeah.
You see, it's like, see, it's like, I mean, it's like smoke. It's like the, look at that. There's, you know, there's 150,000 ducks right there.
It's wild.
It's an ack attack. It's a whack attack. Accurately, and they attacked by ducks on ack. It's real, look at that. Now, how many ducks you think are there? They actually, you know what I've been doing, even though that's, I've been taking digital photos of clouds of these, the Fish and Wildlife Service has a program on a computer screen that you can assign it to, like, do dots. It'll count the ducks. So.
And how many have you had in your
We're just getting started, but I think we're going to try to get a much better hit. I mean, look at, can you see the steady stream of birds? Look at that.
You're literally looking,
you're going to see over 1 million birds go by here. And that's just,
it's like a super highway.
Well, and what we've been finding out is that the birds, can you see the radio tower out this side of the Mount Trashmore out there? And then turn around and look at the ducks coming low on the water. See the clouds? Those are all long-tailed ducks. So they're passing. Those ducks are going around here to the west, and they're going between Tuckernuck and Esther's Island. Every night there's almost three steady streams like a highway. They remind me... You ever been to the hill country of Texas, those bat caves, where 17 million Mexican free-tail bats? This is what they look like. They come out in streams like this, starting. And the other morning I was over here, and I went home and used Google Earth. And the birds were moving over a 5.2-mile area. Like, you know, I used a little ruler. And three streams, and I'm quite certain I saw over 2 million ducks go by. And we've never, I think we've really been underestimating the numbers.
So, Vern, where are they going? What are they doing all day?
Well, we can't ask them that.
We can't, but you know the answer.
Well, no, we've been finding out. In fact, a gentleman, Dick Veet, who's a professor at the University of Staten Island down in New York a few years ago, did some food studies, which basically meant he went out on the way out there and collected some. He shot a few ducks and analyzed, and then they dissected them and looked at what they were eating. There's ducks out there! Oh my God, are there ducks? So, and we found out they're eating mostly these little euphausids, these little krill-like things that are in super abundance out here on the shoals. Look at the clouds coming, my goodness. And you wonder now, what advantage is there for these ducks to fly in these, these ducks are flying an extra 100 miles, maybe 150 miles a day that they don't have to. Why are they doing this? Is there a predator out there? If they stay out on the shoals, because they're perfectly capable of staying out there, because they just go from that body of water to this body of water, which is not as generally as swelly, but it gets real ugly, to spend the night. And then before dawn again, they get up and... Well, I've been thinking about this a lot. What's survival? Well, first, it keeps them really fit. These ducks are physically fit. These things are like a solid ball of muscle, incredible feathering. They have a blubber layer. You and I would die in 5 minutes exposed to this water. And this is like the tropics for them. This is where they come for the winter. This is like and then where they go north. But there's accounts. There's a book called Arctic Dreams by Barry Lopez. I think it's amazing. And there's an account in there of in the spring when the long-tailed ducks, they used to call them old squaw, because when they arrive north in the spring, they arrive just like this in a massive, tight flock. Overhead calling. So I think there's a lot of, I think there has to be, this is almost like passenger pigeons that went extinct, Carolina parakeets. They used to say clouds of passenger pigeons would come by. They would estimate it 3 miles long and it literally would darken the sun. Well, what happened? They hunted them to extinction. But when they reached a certain point, they could no longer breed. I think long-tailed ducks need all this communal. There's smaller populations elsewhere, but these guys, look at how exciting this is. See them just wheeling and turning and they breaking into V's and then wheeling around a cloud. I think there's something to them needing to be in these kind of groups to get them ready for, because when they hit the Arctic, they're very synchronous in their breeding. They all get there at the same time, same day. They're probably paired off by the time they get there.
We're recording today's bird news out on Smith Point on Nantucket, where we're watching the long-tailed ducks.
So crazy. They're like streams and clouds of ducks.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
How many ducks are there?
They just keep coming.
Never-ending ducks.
Professor Elms is going to wish he came.
Yeah, our professor was supposed to be coming with us, but he couldn't make it.
He's been wanting to get out here to see this, but he's missing out.
How many ducks are there?
A gazillion.
But I still didn't answer your question, did I?
No. So, again, what are they doing?
Well, again, I guess the answer, the answer is we don't know why they do it. We know there's more food out there and the food resources. Why don't they spend the night out there? Well, are there predators? Are there some kind of shark or fish that come up? There are instances of long-tailed ducks, I guess, being found in a couple of these wolf-fish stomachs. But, I mean, it shouldn't be enough to... It doesn't answer the fact why maybe they just like to stay fit and fly an extra 150 miles a day. Maybe it has something to do with their whole lifestyle and commute. They like to be in flocks and go back and forth. Maybe they need this to get ready for the breeding season. Even though it seems distant to us, it's not to them.
Where are they? They're here from, what, November to about March?
They arrive here starting in very late October. Look at this coming up. And then they start here. We get flights. It started 2 years in a row on November 12th. Stuff like this. I mean, this is amazing. You know, if I feel bad that Brian is sitting here holding a mic when he should be looking at the millions of the ducks. It's unbelievable.
It's pretty cool.
And then they start. It stays real strong through December. January is pretty good. Of course, it's really hard. And then by the end of February, a lot of these birds are heading north again. So it starts petering out, and they're still around, but they get really hard to find by mid-March.
Heading north where? Where are they the rest of the year?
Well, the transmitters that we got on the birds that worked went, we know exactly where they went. And maybe we should post the website that Fish and Wildlife has put up, Matt Perry and Mass Audubon, that will, you can go to a link, and you can, rather than try to describe north and west of Hudson's Bay, which is a long way. It's some almost 2,500, 3,000 miles north of here. And that's where they nest. And actually, they nest on freshwater, you know, tundra ponds, where there's a tremendous amount of insect, mosquito larvae and stuff that young ducks eat. You know, the adults don't feed them. They just, it's like a brine of, it's incredible in the Arctic in the 24 hours daylight. There's just so much food. It's, even though it's the harshest place on the planet, for 6 weeks, almost 2 months of the year, there's an incredible, abundant food supply. And birds are really, being the most mobile of creatures, are really the only ones that can take advantage of it. They get up there and eat it, then get the heck out of town when things get ugly again. Wow.
What's the name of the speech again?
We're on Smith's Point. And what happens, Smith's Point is always the western tip of Nantucket. 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, before the Great Storm, the other end of Vester's Island was Smith's Point. And then a storm broke the beach. Now that's Esther's Island. This is Smith's Point. But when it reconnects in a few years, Smith's Point will be down there again. And then Tuckernuck Island is just on the other side. Those, see that trees in the distance up on the over the higher there? That's Tuckernuck Island. That's only like 2.5 miles from here. Look at this. You're getting the... Mindy, how many ducks are there?
I can't count that high.
But even... Like, you take a look... Try to count... If you look at binoculars and try to count to 50, 50 is like a millimeter of that. You can't... I've been shocked taking pictures up just with a big 400, almost a 635 image stabilized lens, and I freeze frame a little thing. I look at the picture, I say 50, and I count it, and there's 130.
But so, also, it's swirling. It's this cloud of swirling, so it's really hard to really get an
accurate.
We're
seeing this incredible highway here. This looks like the main flight, but they are also crossing. Oh, the sunrise, sunset's going to be cool. There's another group that's passing right over 2 miles that way. Right now, there's some. See how there's a further group out?
Right.
And if we have binocs up, I see some crossing the tower on the horizon.
Yep.
See them going behind the tower?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
See that cloud? It looks like moving smoke. So we basically have almost a 5 mile area. But this looks like the main. And look out to sea. And you can see them, Bill. They come in and they get off, as they come up to the land. Look at them. They climb, they gain altitude. And then watch what happens. They get over Eel Point, which is only a mile and a half, and then they all whoo, right down to the surface of the water again. And now they're going, see where they're heading?
Yeah.
They're heading out sort of south and east of Muskeget Island, and they're going to spend the night out there in big rafts on the water, just being long-tailed ducks. And tomorrow morning, when we're back here at 6:20 in the morning, they're going to be flying over just like this, going the other way. And usually it's much calmer in the morning, and you can, I hope you get a, it's different every time you come. I've seen this, I don't know how many times, and I'm like a little kid. I get more excited every time I see it. It's fantastic. You know, it's incredible.
I couldn't tell, Bert.
No, it's good. There's nothing like this anyplace. And I'm amazed at how many people live on Nantucket, don't know about this, and have never seen it. When do the ducks go? You don't have to come out on the beach to see it. You can hide behind a house over here in the lee where it's a lot warmer. And when it's not so windy, though, you can't believe the racket they make.
These kids have got to be freezing.
You guys can get in the car if you're cold. I mean, it's look. Can you look out in the distance?
Oh yeah.
How many? Yeah, I mean, this is my.
It kind of looks like, you know. Remember Alfred Hitchcock, the birds.
I have some pictures that'll make you think of the birds. Look at them. It's just spectacular. I'll tell you, it's amazing. To catch these things, they figured out you go out in a boat at night, and it's better if it's windy. Because the birds always take off into the wind. So we get out there with a big spotlight, and you spotlight them, and you get the boat going downwind, and the ducks flush off the water, and you have these big nets, and you sweep and you grab them. And the ducks come in the boat, and they're not happy. And they are so strong. So we catch them, we got to get them out of the net, and of course they poop everywhere, and it's kind of, and they're so, you can't even believe it. It's like trying to handle an eel that's even stronger and slipperier. And you put them in a little cat kennel or a little dog kennel.
Right.
And then they calm right down and bring them back, clean them up, get them a transmitter on them, and let them go the next morning. And they love it. Actually, it looks like, you know what, the way the light is and stuff, the birds are still coming. But I think we should move and see if we can get them come over. Let's go down behind the buildings, find a little different spot.
You want to turn that around?
No. You're doing fine.
I'm just going to follow you.
You're going to take a long, gentle. You don't want to take any hard turns and dig. Just follow me around. You're doing fine. I was watching you.
Okay. Cool. My face is frozen.
I'm going to actually get more water.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, yes. We heard that their professor was going to be so upset that he missed this. And who do we find down the beach?
I took a quick break.
Waiting in the cold.
But were those the old squaws?
Yeah.
Is that
the long-tailed ducks?
Yeah. And they were just marveling at the hundreds and thousands that we've been watching here and wishing that you could be joining them.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a lot of them just coming in here, and then, of course, they're still coming, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
they're coming out more out there now, out in the ocean.
What are they stay out at sea?
Yeah, that's where they, I think that's where they feed out there for the day, yeah, and then they come back. So,
wonderful.
So will you be back here at 6 in the morning with us to watch them going back out?
Of course. Right. So they'll, 6 in the morning, and then they come back in at dusk.
Right. Wow. Dawn and dusk, I guess.
Beautiful. And where do they nest?
See, you're asking the wrong person. Where's Vern? Vern. Vern's the ornithologist. We got to get Vern back here to answer more questions. But I guess they spend the night, from what he says, in Nantucket Sound.
I see.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And they look like they have a short wingspan, do they? I mean, they seem to.
They flap their wings pretty. It looks like they're trying pretty hard.
It's like a little. Yeah. It's not. It's yeah.
I think you mentioned they're like the thinnest bird, the thinnest duck, or something like that.
Fittest, sure. I know that's for sure. Fittest, the fittest, exactly. Fittest, yeah. Fittest. Fittest.
There's probably not a lot of fat on them, huh?
Is this the first time you've ever seen this?
Yes. No. Is this just a November or December event, or is this all year long?
Vern says from about, they can come anywhere from October, but I think he said November 12th is one, or November 15th, thereabouts, they started coming in until about March, and then they head north.
I see.
Look at them.
So they winter in up north.
About 3,000 miles north of here.
Oh, they up like in Hudson Bay?
Yes.
Or
mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
Geez, kind of like that, I could actually answer some of those questions.
That's good.
And what's your name?
My name is Mike Elms.
And
Michael Elms. Yeah.
And you're a professor of?
Of organizational behavior and management at the Worcester Polytechnic Institute.
So you're here doing the same research with the students?
Well, I'm advising their projects, so I'm here as an advisor.
Well, enjoy the ducks.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, this is one of four projects, and their project has nothing to do with ducks.
Right.
Did they talk to you about the project?
Yes, okay. but they were very... They met up with
Actually,
Vern because of their project.
It does have something to do with ducks. Yeah. I mean, there is a concern about wildlife, including birds, so...
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
That was great. Wow.
Well, Vern, what an adventure. Unfortunately, it's come to a close, end of the program, but thanks for taking us along on your adventure for the day.
Mindy, it's been my pleasure to have you come see this phenomenon that's been driving me wild for a long time. Unfortunately, it's not coming to a close for me. I'll be doing this for the next couple months and hopefully for many years to come. And we're going to learn, there's so much more to learn about this duck. There's so much more we want to learn about these birds, and we're taking steps to do that now. In fact, next week, or before this airs, we're hoping to have satellite transmitters in 11 more long-tailed ducks, which will show us exactly where they're going in the day and in the night and where they breed, and it's all good. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is hosted and produced by Mindy Todd. The executive producer is Steve Young. Production assistance from Dan Treidel and Jenny Jenker. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH Radio.